AuthorityResearch.com. Proverbs 3 verses 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. The Institution for Authority Research. An Overview of the Dialectic Process, Part 2, by Dean Gocher. The following audios are done by computer-generated voice. I apologize up front for mispronunciations, changes in volume, and speed. 1 John 2 verse 16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. I know I repeat myself over and over again, but endure to the end as much information will be shared which was not shared before. 1 John 2 verse 22, he is Antichrist, that beneath the Father and the Son. If you reject, deny, or leave out the Father's authority when it comes to behavior, where the Father authors, that is preaches commands and rules to be accepted and obeyed, teaches facts and truth to be accepted as is and applied, and discusses them with those under his authority at his discretion. Providing he deems it necessary, has time, they are capable of understanding, and are not questioning, challenging, defying, disregarding, attacking him and his authority, and enforces them. That is, corrects those who are wrong and chastens those who do wrong or disobey, that they might humble and die to their self, that is, deny their lusts in order to do what is right, that is, do what they are told, casts out or grounds those who question, challenge, defy, disregard, attack him and his authority, with him having the final say. All you have of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, that is, human behavior, and all that is of the world, stimulating it. All you have is the dialectic process, the new world order, stimulus response with the master facilitator of change and control, with those who are affirmed by him, following after, serving, protecting, defending, praising, worshiping, even willingly dying for him, at least giving him their money and time, for justifying their lusts, silencing, censoring, removing anyone who gets in his, and therefore their, way. Including the unborn, the elderly, the innocent, the righteous, without having a guilty conscience. When you define and establish behavior through dialogue, you have to deny the Father's authority. There is no Father's authority in dialogue, in an opinion, or in the consensus process. There is only the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That is, there is only that which is of the world being justified. Luke 16 verse 15, and he said unto them, ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts, for that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. All authority is of God, with God having the final say. While with man that authority is tainted with, what can I get out of this office for me? It is still given by God, that man might learn right from wrong according to being told, that is, rule of law. The dialectic process is man reasoning from his feelings, from the affective domain, what Karl Marx called his sense experience, his sensuous needs, and his sense perception, which incorporates and thus justifies the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, only that which is of the world, or as Karl Marx stated it, only that which proceeds from nature, justifying his natural inclination to lust after pleasure, and to resent or even hate. Restraint, that which causes him to miss out on pleasure, that is, to approach pleasure and to avoid pain associated with stimulus response, that is, human nature. The dialectic process, self-justification, that is, being God, the center of the universe, is such a big part of man's life, he cannot see the harmful effect it has upon himself and upon others if someone does not tell him and restrain him for his own good and for the good of others. Hebrews 12 verse 11, dialectic reasoning was made manifest in our why, which we used in response to our parents' command that inhibited or blocked us from doing what we wanted. Without us knowing it, we wanting them to go into dialogue with us where they would have no authority to tell us what we could or could not do and hold us accountable. In dialogue, they had no right to correct or punish us if we went ahead and did what we wanted. There is no Father's authority in dialogue. There is only their opinion, which has no parental authority, no cannot or thou shalt not. Dialectic reasoning is a secular way. a so-called academic way of justifying our heart, which is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Thinking pleasure is the purpose of life instead of doing the Father's will, doing what we want instead of doing what we have been told, hating anyone who is taking or threatening to take what we are lusting after away. Jeremiah 17 verse 9. This, in a nutshell, is Marxism. Why did they kill the king and all who were loyal to him in socialist revolutions? Because he, as a father does in the home and God does to man, tells those under his authority what they can and cannot do, holding them accountable if they disobey. The framers of this nation made the father in the home king, those of and for the world, by bringing dialogue into the Constitution, making it subject to them. Speaking of the Supreme Court, have passed laws making education subject to the dialectic reasoning, which comes between the father and his children. Through their introduction of dialogue, the effective domain, in the classroom, they have liberated children from their parents' authority, turning them against them instead. All I have to do as a teacher, actually as a facilitator of change, is create a classroom environment where your child is pressured, out of fear of group rejection, to accept that socialism, relationship with the group, is right, is positive, which requires compromising your standards and individualism, under God, that is doing what you tell them is not right, is negative, which the use of dialectic, reasoning or dialogue, the effective domain, in the classroom does, and I have turned them against your authority as a parent. You told them, because I said so, like the heavenly fathers, it is written, when they went, why? In response to your command and persisted, which I as a teacher, with the use of the group, responded to in favor to their why, justifying and establishing their why, over and therefore against your authority to say no. Luke 16 verse 15, Romans 7 verse 7, Romans 3 verse 20, and Romans 5 verse 13. Why am I explaining Marxism and contemporary education at the same time? Because they are one and the same. Georgi Lukacs, a Marxist, was the founder of the Frankfurt School, a group of Marxists who, fleeing fascist Germany, came to United States in the early 30s, entered our universities, training up Marxist professors and government advisors, who, working from the federal level down, using departments such as education, undermined parental authority, using curriculum which taught the next generation of citizens to not respect and honor authority and obey the law. Georgi Lukacs, the central problem is to change reality. Reality with its obedience to laws. Georgi Lukacs, history and class consciousness. What is orthodox Marxism? Immanuel Kant wrote of a world where lawfulness without law reigned, where the law of the flesh, sense experience, ruled without the law of God, being told, getting in the way. Immanuel Kant, Critique of Judgment, Karl Marx. Laws must not fetter human life, but yield to it. They must change as the needs and capacities of the people change. Karl Marx. Critique of Hegel's Philosophy of Right. In other words, according to the Marxist, laws are not to be established by what the father says, that is, are not to be subject to discussion, where the father has the final say, but must be subject to change, to dialogue, to the effective domain, as the lusts, plural as in lust for pleasure and lust for the affirmation of others, of the child changes in response to the current situation, and or object, people, or person present. This is where Benjamin Bloom got his, we recognize the point of view that truth and knowledge are only relative, and that there are no hard and fast truths which exist for all time and places. From the Frankfurt School. When a man rejects being told, and therefore rejects being restrained, and therefore rejects the Father's authority, and therefore rejects salvation, that is the Son, and therefore rejects eternal life, they all go hand in hand. When you reject one, you reject them all. All he has is his lust for pleasure and hatred toward restraint, that is, human nature, using his God-given reasoning ability, which God gave us to reason from his word, to reason from what he was told, to figure out how he can get around or get rid of what or who is in his way, justifying his lusts, dying in his sins, choosing eternal death instead. Proverbs 16 verse 25. I am explaining the difference between discussion, doing what the Father says, in dialogue, the process of change, the praxis of dialectic reasoning, the so-called academics, being used in the classroom, in the workplace, in government, and even in the church today. In discussion, we do what we are told, while in dialogue, we try to figure out how we can get around what we have been told, so we can do what we want instead. In discussion, where the Father has the final say, as noted before, while the earthly Father can be wrong, the Heavenly Father is always right. Discussion is a way of thinking which the Heavenly Father needs us to have in order for us to accept what He says. By rejecting discussion, being told because the earthly Father is wrong, accusing him and thus labeling him as being a fascist, for example, as Adorno did, discussion with the Heavenly Father is negated. That is the plan being used by those of and for the world in the classroom, in the workplace, in government, and even in the church, in the name of change. It is our reasoning through dialogue, or our use of dialectic reasoning, where we try to figure out how we can liberate ourself, our flesh, our lusts out from under the source of restraint, the Father's authority that those of and for the world are interested in. If they can find out what you are dialoguing with yourself about regarding your dissatisfaction with the Father and get you to share it in a thou shalt not surely die environment, they can own you. Dialogue is the catalyst for change, where stimulus response, that which is of the world, directs your thoughts instead of being told, doing what the Father says. When man uses dialogue as the means to defining behavior, he justifies sin, negating discussion, what the Father says, resenting and rejecting, martyring. Anyone who brings what the Father says in, that is, who brings discussion into the environment of change. Anytime you bring discussion, what the Father says, into a room full of I feel and I think, you will always be accused of being argumentative, being labeled by them as being divisive, hateful, negative, prejudiced, not a team player, and so forth, needing to join in the dialogue or be silenced, censored, and/or removed if you persist. It is an absolute. The use of generalized terms has always been used to silence anyone who wants to deal with the truth, who wants to get into the details. Those of and for the world know it and use the dialectic process every day to change you and the world you live in, so they can sin without having a guilty conscience with your affirmation. Your silence is consent. You might say to yourself you have not compromised your position when you are silent in order to initiate or sustain relationship with someone who is justifying their immoral thoughts and immoral actions, but you have. In their mind, you have already chosen relationship with them over and therefore against your position with God. They call it academics. It is not. It is a spiritual attack upon the souls of the children and anyone else who participates, being beat down in the group grade classroom, or team building workplace, or bipartisan session, or church board meeting. It is the pattern of Genesis 3 verses 1 to 6, where the desire to touch, shared in a we can talk about anything and not be judged, condemned, or cast out for what we think or say, environment led to the use of dialogue, the dialectic process, in disobedience to the Father, in the garden in Eden, justifying the eating of the forbidden fruit, being applied today in the classroom, in the workplace, in government, and even in the church, unabated because everybody wants to be respected in the eyes of the world, that is not be called negative, divisive, hateful, intolerant, prejudiced, and so forth. Even Jesus Christ despised the shame of the cross, but did not compromise what his Father said. No one is addressing the dialectic process from the Word of God, from what God says. You cannot see it until you start there. No conservative group today starts with righteousness as their platform, because today God's Word is denied access, other than to be made subject to man's opinions. Kenneth Binney, a Marxist, persons will not come into full partnership in the process until they register dissatisfaction. Kenneth Binney, Human Relations in Curriculum Change, it is in lust being restrained that the drive for change takes place. By creating an environment of dialogue, when it comes to behavior, lust becomes the driving force, the need for change. The greater the dialogue, when it comes to behavior, the greater the need for change. Dialogue justifies lust, our effective domain. Discussion justifies restraint, the Father's authority. Which one we use, that is which one we turn to when it comes to behavior, directly affects the outcome. Whether we honor and obey authority, that is, do what the Father says, that is, do the Father's will, or we question, challenge, defy, disregard, or attack His authority, doing our will instead. Matthew 12:50. Education always includes behavior. Whoever controls how the students are taught, whether through discussion or dialogue, directly affects how the students will behave as a result. Kurt Lewin. Change in methods of leadership, that is, replacing the traditional teacher, where the teacher, using discussion, has the final say, with a facilitator of change, where, through dialogue, the students have the final say, is probably the quickest way to bring about a change in the cultural atmosphere of a group. Any real change of the culture of a group is, therefore, interwoven with the changes of the power constellation within the group. Barker, Dimbo, and Lewin, Frustration and Regression. An Experiment with Young Children and Child Behavior and Development, Kurt Lewin. It is usually easier to change individuals formed into a group than to change any one of them separately. The individual accepts the new system of values and beliefs by accepting belongingness to the group. Kurt Lewin and Kenneth Binney, Human Relations and Curriculum Change, Irvin Yalom. There is no more important issue than the interrelationship of the group members. To question the value or activities of the group would be to thrust himself into a state of dissonance. Irvin D. Yalom, The Theory and Practice of Group Psychotherapy. Cognitive dissonance is the lack of harmony between what one does and what one believes. The pressure to change either one's behavior or one's belief. Ernest R. Hilgard, Introduction to Psychology. Yalom continues, few individuals, as Ash has shown, can maintain their objectivity, their loyalty to the Father's authority, in the face of apparent group unanimity. The facilitator of change, the psychotherapist, discovering what you have been talking to yourself about, that you have been lusting after, that your Father has told you cannot have or do, by creating a safe space play zone where you can share how you feel and what you think in a group setting without being judged, condemned, or cast out, is able to pressure you into either doing what the Father says, missing out on what you want to do or have, or going with the group, doing or having what you want with the group's affirmation. You choose. Which one would you choose? Joshua 24:15. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Children are attending the contemporary classroom every day, being pressured to choose lust over, and therefore against, the Lord. Same with the workers in the workplace, and leaders in bipartisan session, and ministers in minister alliances, doing the dialectic process for the good of the group and the good of society, with what can I get out of this for myself on their mind. When discussion, what the Father says, and dialogue, how we feel and what we think, come together in an open-ended, done-directive environment, confusion ensues, where the antithesis of seems to be, that is, our ought to be instead of what is, becomes reality, directly affecting our action. Carl Rogers. The words seem to are significant. It is the perception which functions in guiding behavior. Joseph O'Malley, a Marxist in short, philosophy as theory finds the ought implied within the is, and as praxis seeks to make the two coincide. Comments by Joseph O'Malley, ed. Of Karl Marx, Critique of Hegel's Philosophy of Right, Abraham Maslow. We have to study the conditions which maximize ought perceptiveness. Oughtiness is itself a fact to be perceived. Abraham Maslow, The Farther Reaches of Human Nature. Dialogue is where we find our uffiness, discussion where we find our Father's commands, and perfect peace, love, and joy, all of which are not of the world. In discussion, there is only either or, a right or a wrong answer, above below, light dark, heaven hell with the one above, the Father defining what is right and what is wrong behavior, having the final say, while in dialogue, right and wrong is based upon feelings, a whole spectrum of feelings, from love to hate, from love of pleasure to hate of restraint, with the children, including those in adult bodies, having the final say, according to their feelings of the moment that the situation and or the object, people, or person is stimulating. While discussion is based upon being told, dialogue is based upon stimulus response. In discussion, you persuade and are persuaded with facts and truth, while in dialogue, you manipulate and are manipulated with feelings, leaving out inappropriate information that will get in the way of your desired outcome, and including appropriate information that will guarantee it. It is what you leave out, any command, rule, facts, or truth that gets in the way, that is negative that guarantees the outcome. In dialogue, you do not want the truth, the rest of the story to get in the way. Dialectic reasoning is based upon dialogue being used to define and establish behavior, pleasure being right and restraint, that is the missing out on pleasure being wrong. All of philosophy, psychology, sociology begins with I feel and I think. René Descartes said as much, I think, therefore I am. When you start with the father, doing his will being the focus of attention, the child's carnal nature is restrained. When you start with the child, making his feelings the focus of attention, the father's authority is negated. There is a world of difference between being restrained and being negated. Capitalists will not hire the immoral person, but he can go work somewhere else. Socialists will remove the moral person for the good of society. Karl Marx based his ideology off of Heraclitus. Heraclitus stated, Every grown man of the Ephesians should hang himself and leave the city to the boys. Heraclitus's focus upon feelings was the foundation of the Stoics, which our Supreme Court turned to in justifying abortion. At one time, embracing Christianity, discussion, the father's authority, rule of law, it now rejects it, turning to Stoicism, dialogue, the children's lusts instead. In Strauss versus Strauss, 1941, the Supreme Court concluded, every system of law known to civilized society generated from or had as its component one of two well-known systems of ethics, Stoic or Christian. The common law draws its subsistence from the latter. Its roots go deep into that system. The Christian concept of right and wrong or right and justice motivates every rule of equity. It is the guide by which we dissolve domestic frictions and the rule by which all legal controversies are settled. In 1973, Roe v. Wade, the Supreme Court embraced socialism, Marxism, globalism. There has always been strong support for the view that life does not begin until live birth. This was the belief of the Stoics. The difference between dialogue and discussion, and the danger which comes from using dialogue when it comes to behavior, is not just some idle words. It explains what is going on today. Quotes following, from the Marxists to prove that point. The dialectic process, contemporary education with its emphasis upon feelings, upon the affective domain, disguising itself as being academics, is in actuality spiritual and not of God's spirit. Ephesians 2 verses 2 and 3, Ephesians 5 verses 5 to 7, and Colossians 2:8. Karl Marx referred to dialogue, man's ability to justify his carnal nature, human nature, his heart, his lust for pleasure and resentment or hatred toward restraint and the restrainer, as being a spiritualistic lord, pure spontaneity, actus perus, intolerant of any influence from without. Karl Marx, the Holy Family, if God did not warn us about the evil side of our heart, that is our use of dialogue to justify ourself, to justify our lust for pleasure and resentment and even hatred toward restraint, toward God and His authority, the Father's authority, we would not know it. The agenda of those of and for the world, as Wilfred Bion stated, it is to prevent someone who knows from filling the empty space. Wilfred Bion, A Memoir of the Future. The empty space is man's ability to dialogue with his self, to justify his self, which those of and for the world want to be the only means by which man is to communicate with his self and with others when it comes to behavior, preventing any voice from outside from getting in the way. It is that safe space play zone where only that which is positive or tolerant of the deviant and immoral is spoken, and that which is negative, judgmental, condemning, intolerant of the deviant and immoral is either converted or silenced, censored, and/or cast out. Dialectic reasoning, which removes the word of God from academics, liberates man in his thinking from godly restraint, perpetuating the lie that man can sin, that is lust after the carnal pleasures of the moment that the world stimulates, the basis of stimulus response, without being held accountable for his carnal thoughts and carnal actions. In Colossians 3:9, the word deeds is the Greek word praxis. The lie of the old man is the praxis you can do what you want without God judging, condemning, and casting you out for your carnal thoughts and carnal actions. Psalms 10 verse 4 and Psalms 36 verse 1. Antonio Gramsci, a Marxist. The philosophy of praxis is the absolute secularization of thought, an absolute humanism of history. Antonio Gramsci, Selections from the Prison Notebooks. The name for the national test for teachers is praxis. When it comes to behavior, those of and for the world have been successful in accomplishing their agenda, using dialogue, the dialectic process, dialectic reasoning to remove God's word, the Father's authority from academics, thereby creating a new world order where the children rule. That is, the master facilitator of change rules the world instead of the Father. It is being put into praxis everywhere you turn. Dialectic reasoning, that is Sophia, love of wisdom from where we get philosophy, is now uniting all upon what they have in common, eros, human nature, lust, in Gnostic form. Although in Marxism it is secularized, resulting in the God of the Pleroma, the cosmos, the world, coming to know himself as children come to know their self, through dialogue coming to a consensus, collectively becoming one as they liberate their self from God's authority. This the word of God warns us of. James 4 verse 4. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Colossians 2 verse 8, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Ephesians 5 verses 5 to 7, let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. Ephesians 2 verses 2 and 3, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. 2 Corinthians 10 verse 5. Casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. John 14 verse 6, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Martin Luther and therefore the Protestant Reformation rejected stimulus response, the ideology of Aristotle, and all philosophy, psychology, sociology, that by creating a healthy environment you can develop a healthy person. Dialectic reasoning, which is only of the world, replaces righteousness, doing the Father's will, being told with stimulus response, with sensuousness, with children, including those in adult bodies doing what they want according to their carnal nature, justifying the removal of anyone who gets in their way, including the unborn, the elderly, the innocent, and the righteous, doing so without having a guilty conscience. When you make behavior subject to science, to stimulus response, all you have is that which is of the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Righteousness can only be imputed by God to man, by man's faith in the Son of God, Jesus Christ, and in the Father alone, by the work of the Holy Spirit, John 14 verse 6. Karl Marx's response to righteousness and education in his day was that of contempt toward the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ, and morality. Education as yet is unable and unwilling to bring all estates and distinctions into its circle. Only Christianity and morality are able to found universal kingdoms on earth. Karl Marx, the Holy Family, Karl Marx's agenda is accomplished today, from the federal level down to the home. Everyone is enamored with sensuousness. What can I get out of this situation, object, these people, or this person for myself? Including the conservatives, who in their effort to restore America leave righteousness, what God says out of their communication with their self and with others. The lie is man leaving what God, the Father, says out of his communication with his self and with others. When he makes behavior subject to dialogue, to stimulus response, to this scientific method, he is denying the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ, having to reject, in all thy ways acknowledge him. We have two political systems within us. Which one we turn to when it comes to behavior determines which political system we are serving under, Matthew 6 verse 24 and Romans 6:16. Discussion and dialogue, when it comes to behavior are antithetical to one another. One is of the flesh and the other is of the soul, which those of and for the world make subject to the flesh, calling it the psychomotor. The first one, dialogue, is the result of the living God forming man from the dust of the ground. The second one, discussion, is the result of his breathing the breath of life into Adam, making him a living soul. Then doing something with man, besides forming him from the dust of the ground and then breathing life into him, that he did with nothing else in the creation. God told Adam what he could and could not do, not only for his flesh's sake, but also for his soul's sake. The soul knows from being told, from what the Father says. The flesh by sense experience, according to stimulus response. Everything in the creation is subject to stimulus response except the soul of man, who can reason either from what he has been told, discussion, doing what the Father says, or reason from his flesh, dialogue, justifying his natural inclination to lust after pleasure and hate restraint, making him subject only to stimulus response, to his heart's desire, making everything subject to dialogue, to the opinions of men. According to God, good is doing right and not wrong according to what he says, his commands, that is doing his will, while evil is lusting after the things of the world in disobedience. I am talking academics here, those of and for the world know this stuff. I have read their works, Romans 1 verses 28 to 32, James 1 verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Luke 11 verse 36, take heed therefore that the light which is in thee be not darkness. John 3 verses 19 to 21, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. With man, pleasure is good, and anyone inhibiting or blocking it is evil. You can see it in the raised fist of a rebellious child when what he is lusting after is being taken away from him. Man is like God in that he can reason, but in his case, when it comes to behavior, in defiance to God, he reasons from his flesh, that is through the use of dialogue, where he has the final say instead of from God's word, from what God says, from what he has been told, with God having the final say. Genesis 3 verse 22, and the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand, and take also of the tree of life, and eat, and live forever. Jeremiah 17:9, death is the result of the woman using dialogue in response to God's word, with Adam following after her. Death is a reminder to man that he is not God, that God is God, having the final say. David made dialogue, how he felt subject to discussion, to what God the Father said, because he understood the nature of his heart. Psalms 119 verse 11, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Jeremiah 17 verse 9, the heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Language or communication goes with each. Discussion goes with the soul, with what the Father says, with the Father telling man what is right and what is wrong behavior, with the Father having the final say, which is an either-or, right-wrong, above-below, heaven-hell way of thinking, called a patriarchal paradigm. Dialogue, on the other hand, goes with man's flesh, that which God formed from the dust of the ground, with man doing what he wants, according to how he feels and what he is thinking in the moment that the world is stimulating, with him having the final say, at least in his imagination, in dialoguing with himself, justifying his carnal desires, his lusts, called the heresiarchal paradigm. Genesis 6 verse 5, 8:21. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. The imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. That is why the Word of God says 2 Timothy 2 verse 22, flee also youthful lusts, Proverbs 16 verse 25. In discussion, God is God. In dialogue, you are God. What God told Adam he could do, Adam could dialogue with himself and the woman about. He could go, I like, or I don't like, and everything in between and beyond. In dialogue, we are in control of life, at least in our imagination. When we establish dialogue, what we think above discussion, what God says it is called the pride of life. In discussion, God is in control, requiring us to humble, die to, deny ourselves, our lusts in order to do his will. It was when the woman used dialogue, I feel like touching the forbidden tree, and I don't think there is anything wrong with the forbidden tree, in the realm of discussion, where the father has the final say, she sinned, with Adam following after her, abdicating his office of authority, lusting after the flesh, lusting after the woman, wanting to dialogue with her instead of having a discussion with God, having to do God's will. Anyone coming between the one in authority and those who are under his authority and draw them into dialogue regarding their behavior, that is, justifying their lusts, is doing what the serpent in the garden in Eden did, liberating them from the father's authority so they, as a predator, charlatan, pimp, pedophile can use them for their own pleasure. That is why those of and for the world go to dialogue when they want their way, making discussion subject to dialogue, making feelings a fact to be obeyed without question so others have to do what they say, thinking they are in control of the situation when they are not, when they, like one of Thorndike's chickens, Skinner's rats, and Pavlov's dog, are being seduced, deceived, and manipulated instead. Remember, dialogue resides in stimulus response, in only that which is of the world. Jesus never went to dialogue. John 5 verse 30, in all three temptations in the wilderness, regarding his flesh, this life, his eyes, the nations, and the pride of life, God's protection. At the point of death, with there being no return, Jesus responded not with lust, what about me, but with, it is written, in other words, Dad says. The closest he came to dialogue was the night before the cross, in the Garden of Gethsemane, cutting dialogue off, let this cup pass from me, with nevertheless, thy will be done. We use both discussion and dialogue, using dialogue when we eat, eating what we like, not eating what we do not like. Dialogue is a spectrum from love to hate, with everything in between, like being the most common word used. When we are told what we like to eat is bad for us, we have a choice between discussion, not eating it, or dialogue, eating it anyway. We use language to determine how we will behave. When it comes to behavior, when we accept discussion, what the Father says, with the Father having the final say yet resorting to dialogue, doing what we want instead, we disobey, having a guilty conscience as a result, there is a consequence if we are caught. This condition is referred to as a belief-action dichotomy. It is the guilty conscience those of and for the world want to negate, since it is the guilty conscience that carries the Father's authority into society, with you telling others what they can and cannot do, telling them what they are doing is wrong when they are wrong, not joining or building relationship with them, but judging, condemning, and casting them out. That is warning them of God's judgment upon them for their sins, and refusing to build relationship with them when they, having been told, do wrong instead. As a boss, for example, will not hire someone who does what is wrong, who disobeys, who sins, who lusts after the carnal pleasures of the moment that the world is stimulating, instead of doing what he is told, firing him if he was hired. This is where money comes in. When discussion has control of it, doing right and not wrong according to what the worker is told determines whether he will be hired and paid or not. If dialogue has control of money, the incompetent, lazy, and vicious get paid. Money, when made subject to man's lusts, is simply drug money. The guilty conscience for doing wrong resides in discussion, where you are either right or wrong, not in dialogue, where there is no wrong, where there is only, it was not my fault, it was so-and-so's fault or the situation, and I will do better next time, where there is no confession of and or repentance for doing wrong. Kurt Lewin, a Marxist, explained not only where the guilty conscience, what he calls the negative valence, originates, but also how to negate it in the individual, thereby being able to remove it from society. Kurt Lewin. The negative valence of a forbidden object which in itself attracts the child, the guilty conscience, thus usually derives from an induced field of force of an adult. If this field of force loses its psychological existence for the child, e.g., if the adult goes away or loses his authority, the negative valence also disappears. Kurt Lewin, A Dynamic Theory of Personality. By making your behavior subject to dialogue, to your feelings of the moment that the world is stimulating, what dialogue does, having to remove the negative, the thou shalt surely die from the room, replacing it with the positive, with the ye shalt not surely die, we can share our feelings and thoughts here without fear of being judged, condemned, or cast out in order for everyone to freely share what they are thinking about and wanting to do. As was done in a garden in Eden, the father's authority is negated in dialogue, negating your having a guilty conscience when you do wrong, disobey, sin. So those of and for the world can do wrong, disobey, sin, that is lust after the carnal pleasures of the moment that the world is stimulating with your affirmation, not having to worry about your judging, condemning, and casting them out for their unrighteous thoughts and unrighteous actions since you have replaced discussion. You're having to do what the Father says with dialogue, with what you want to do, resulting in those of and for the world owning you, buying and selling their soul, with you following after, serving, protecting, defending, praising, worshiping, and even willingly dying, or at least giving your time and money. For them, since they justified your lust for pleasure, dying in their sins. Matthew 16 verse 26, since your flesh is temporary, it has no eternal value. It is your soul that is eternal. Where you spend eternity depends upon who you listen to and obey in this life, yourself, others, or God. Rejecting the Heavenly Father's authority, those of and for the world perceive that when children accept and obey their earthly father, they create the Heavenly Father's authority. Thus their agenda, when it comes to behavior, is to use dialogue, where there is no father's authority, in order to own everybody in the room. Carl Rogers. If we have the power or authority to establish the necessary conditions, the predicted behaviors, our potential ability to influence or control the behavior of groups will follow. We can choose to use our growing knowledge to enslave people in ways never dreamed of before, depersonalizing them, controlling them by means so carefully selected that they will perhaps never be aware of their loss of personhood. We know how to change the opinions of an individual in a selected direction without his ever becoming aware of the stimuli which changed his opinion. We know how to influence the behavior of individuals by setting up conditions which provide satisfaction for needs of which they are unconscious, but which we have been able to determine. We can achieve a sort of control under which the controlled, though they are following a code much more scrupulously than was ever the case under the old system, nevertheless feel free. They are doing what they want to do, not what they are forced to do. By a careful design, we control not the final behavior, but the inclination to behavior, the motives, the desires, the wishes. The curious thing is that in that case, the question of freedom never arises. Carl Rogers, On Becoming a Person, A Therapist View of Psychotherapy, Abraham Maslow. I have found whenever I ran across authoritarian students, those who adhere to the father's authority, that the best thing for me to do was to break their backs immediately. The correct thing to do with authoritarians is to take them realistically for the bastards they are, and then behave toward them as if they were bastards. Abraham Maslow, Maslow on Management. In other words, the agenda for those of and for the world is to not let discussion, what the father says, get in the way of your dialogue. You're talking to yourself regarding what you want to do so you can do what you want without having a guilty conscience, as was done in a garden in Eden. In education, via federal laws and the use of Bloom's taxonomies, the father's authority was replaced with the student's carnal nature, with that which was formed from the dust of the ground, with dialogue, with how the students feel, their affective domain, and what they think, their opinion regarding behavior. Which one you turn to discussion or to dialogue when it comes to behavior determines which political system you are going to live under, either under rule of law, the father's authority or rebellion, tyranny and revolution, where lust for pleasure and hatred toward restraint rules over the world. Norman Brown, by dialectic, I mean an activity of consciousness, struggling to circumvent the limitations imposed by the formal logical law of contradiction. All Brown was saying is, I'm trying to figure out how I can get around what my parents just told me to do. Replacing discussion, what the father says, where the father has the final say with dialogue, with how you feel and what you think, where you have the final say when it comes to behavior, the father's authority is negated so you can sin without having a guilty conscience, with the people's affirmation, dying in your sins. That is how it works. 1 John 2 verse 18 and 2 Timothy 4 verses 3 and 4. God's solution is not found in stimulus response, in that which is of the world, with man's reasoning taken captive to his lusts, using dialogue to justify his self, but is found in faith in God and his word, requiring the same faith God required of Adam but now in his Son, Jesus Christ, redeeming us from God the Father's judgment upon us for our sins, covering our sins by his shed blood on a cross, with God the Father reconciling us to himself by raising his Son from the grave. When you witness students in a classroom circled around a desk, or youth in a youth group dialoguing their feelings and their thoughts, that is sharing their opinions regarding personal social issues, having to put aside their differences in order for everyone in the group to share their feelings and thoughts, that is to share their opinion, having to be positive, tolerating ambiguity, having to be tolerant of the other person's unrighteous or sinful or deviant thoughts, statements, or opinion and or behavior, and not be negative, judging, condemning, casting them out, that is refusing to listen to them and or relate with them, telling them they are wrong instead, working on a group project, including growing the church, receiving a group grade based upon how well they are setting aside their principles for the sake of group harmony, striving for consensus, a feeling of oneness with one another, which requires compromise, suspending, as upon a cross, what the Father says, what they have been told in order to build relationship with one another based upon common self-interest, lust, silencing, censoring and casting anyone out who, insisting upon everyone doing what the Father says, who refuses to participate in the process of change being labeled as being not just prejudiced, but a fascist, amongst other terms, lower-order thinker, maladjusted, unadaptable to change, a resistor of change, not a team, player, divisive, hateful, intolerant, and so forth. You are witnessing Marxism, the dialectic process at work. Marxism is created when a diverse group of people, which must include the deviant, the catalyst for change, compromising their position for the sake of relationship, dialogue their opinions to a consensus. There is no father's authority in dialogue, in an opinion, or in the consensus process, in a facilitated meeting, since, according to all the books I have read, written by those promoting the process of change, the process of change does not come naturally. You have to seduce, deceive, and manipulate people in order to get them to participate properly over social issues, which requires everyone to set aside what the Father says in order for everyone to get along to a predetermined outcome, that the process just described is being used whenever any rule, policy, or law that is right and wrong behavior is being defined or established. Dialectic reasoning, reasoning from how you feel, which is always through dialogue, where you have the final say, instead of from what you have been told, which is through discussion, where the Father has the final say, makes human nature, unrighteousness, your natural inclination to lust after that which stimulates pleasure in you, that you want to have or do, that you are attracted to, which you have been told you cannot have or do, the norm. In order to make human nature, your natural inclination to lust after pleasure and hate restraint, unrighteousness the norm, that which gets in the way of pleasure, that which inhibits or prevents you from being yourself, doing what you want has to be removed from the environment, has to be removed from the room, from the classroom or work environment. In order to make behavior subject to dialogue, to doing what you want, to unrighteousness instead of subject to what you have been told to do, discussion, what the Father says, with the Father having the final say, the Father's authority, insisting that everyone humble and die to themselves, that is deny their lusts, doing right and not wrong according to established commands, rules, facts, and truth, doing what they have been told instead has to be removed from the room. When discussion, what the father says, with the father having the final say, stays in the room, has control of the communication, dialogue, what you want, with you having the final say, the dialectic process is prevented from becoming actualized. Self-actualization is prevented from becoming. Georgi Lukacs. The dialectical method was overthrown. The parts, the children, were prevented from finding their definition, their identity, within the whole, within one another, within the group, through dialogue justifying their carnal nature, their natural inclination to lust after pleasure and hate restraint. Your carnal heart, thinking pleasure is the purpose of life instead of doing the father's will, becomes desperate in its effort to acquire or retain the pleasure of the moment that the world is stimulating, striking out against anyone taking or threatening to take it away, not seeing its action as being wicked, desperately wicked, since its lust for pleasure is standing in the way, justifying the action, the hate. Sin resides in the human heart, where dialogue, what Karl Marx called critical criticism, resides, justifying his carnal nature, his natural inclination to lust after pleasure and hate restraint, to hate the restrainer who is taking or is threatening to take his pleasure away. Marxism is the spirit of "you can't tell me what I can and cannot do." Rejecting the father's authority, those who are of and for the world, Marxists, facilitators of change, reject any law that judges, condemns, or justifies their being cast out, firing or not hiring them, for lusting after pleasure instead of doing what the father says, for doing what they want instead of doing what they are told. You can apply this behavior down through history. While that definition, replacing discussion, what the father says, righteousness with dialogue, with how you feel and what you think in the moment, with unrighteousness when it comes to behavior, resulting in you hating the father's authority for getting in the way, might go over a lot of people's heads. Who can know it? It is what is going on right now in the public, as well as in the Christian classroom, as well as in meetings in the workplace, in government, and even in the church, across the nation and around the world. The father's authority, having to humble and die to yourself, deny your lusts in order to do right and not wrong according to the father's established commands, rules, facts, and truth, in order to do what you have been told is being negated, is being replaced with your natural inclination to lust after the carnal pleasures of the moment that the world is stimulating, making you subject to the facilitator of change, to the Marxist, who, justifying your propensity to lust after pleasure and hate restraint, owns you. 2 Peter 2 verse 3 and 2 Timothy 4 verses 3 and 4. We have become a Marxist nation, and few people realize it, and fewer yet know what it is and how it was done and continues to be done. I have sat across the table from heads of major Christian ministries who could have made a difference, sharing this information with them turning sideways in their chair, refusing to listen, wanting to hear the truth, but not this much truth, which would cost them, getting in the way of what they wanted, the praises and support of men. In describing America today, I am describing Marxism. In describing Marxism, I am describing America today. America has become a Marxist nation, a nation that lusts after pleasure and hates restraint, that hates the father's authority, that hates being told what is right and what is wrong behavior according to established commands, rules, facts, and truth, that hates doing what it is told. Just try to take its iPhones or tablets away. While you might deny it, you cannot refute it. It is everywhere you turn. 2 Thessalonians 2 verses 11 and 12. What is Marxism? Marxism is dialectic reasoning, that is self-justification, the justification of lust being put into action, called praxis. The idea being, don't attack the righteous or those who insist upon everyone doing the Father's will, just don't include them in your communication with one another. That is what dialogue does when it comes to behavior. All there is in praxis is man's carnal nature and the world that stimulates it. The word praxis is found in the Bible. In Colossians 3 verse 9, the word deeds is the Greek word praxis. The lie of the old man is the praxis you can do what you want without God judging, condemning, and casting you out for your carnal thoughts and carnal actions. Psalms 10 verse 4 and Psalms 36 verse 1. Instead of reasoning from what the father says, the Marxist uses reasoning to liberate his self from what the father says. In brief, Marxism, incorporating man's lust for pleasure as a part of human nature, establishes lust over and therefore against the father and his authority. For the Marxist or the socialist, it is what you have in common with everyone else, and they have in common with you. Your and their natural inclination to lust after pleasure and be dissatisfied with, resenting or hating authority for getting in the way that unites you with them and then with you, with everyone having to reject the father's authority, which divides them from one another based upon who is doing their father's will and who is not. For the Marxist, building relationship upon self-interest, upon lust, upon what can I get out of this situation, object, people, or person for myself, is what unites. It is the father's authority, having to do right and not wrong according to what the father says, that divides. Individualism comes from the father's authority, from where we get individualism under God. Socialism, Marxism, globalism, on the other hand, rejecting the father's authority, that is God the Father and his son Jesus Christ, comes from what man has in common, his lust for pleasure and his hatred toward restraint. As long as the father's authority, doing what the father says, living according to the word of God, occupies the individual's mind, affecting his actions, socialism, Marxism, globalism, the justification of lust cannot take control over his life and the life of the people. In dialogue, we justify what we like. There is a place for dialogue. As long as we use dialogue, I feel, and I think, regarding what we have been told by the Father, what we can do, or we have it, is fine, retaining the Father's authority in our thoughts, directly affecting our actions. But the moment we use dialogue to justify what we want to do or have that the Father has told us we cannot do or have, it becomes lust, resulting in us using it, that is dialogue, to justify our dissatisfaction with, resentment, or hatred toward the Father who is getting in the way of our lusts. The more you focus upon what you are lusting after, upon what you want, especially with others affirming, that is justifying your lust, the greater your resentment or hatred toward the Father's authority will become, for preventing you from having or threatening to take away or taking away that which you want, where desperation sets in. It is here, in your natural inclination to lust after pleasure and hate restraint, that is hating to miss out on pleasure, with you not only dialoguing within yourself but dialoguing with others, justifying your lust, that hatred toward the Father authority resides, that Marxism resides. In discussion, you hate yourself for being or doing wrong. In dialogue, you hate the person or thing that prevents you from doing or having what you want. The more you use dialogue when it comes to behavior, the more Marxist, that is, the more hateful, critical, toward authority you become. You cannot see it happening, since dialogue and what you want go hand in hand, blinding you to your increasing hatred toward authority, justifying it in your mind instead. Instead of being born again, of the Spirit, as the Lord requires, that is subject only to the Father, while being in the world, being no longer of it, socialism, Marxism, globalism requires man to be born again, only of the world, where lust for pleasure along with lust for being affirmed by others makes him at one with himself and at one with the world, creating worldly peace, where he can sin without having a guilty conscience, and socialist harmony, where he can sin with the people's affirmation. When you are born again of the Father and the Son, you no longer dialoguing with yourself, no longer justifying your sins, thus no longer having a guilty conscience. When you are born again of the world, you no longer have a guilty conscience, since you are no longer discussing with yourself and with others what the Father says, holding yourself and others accountable to Him, but you are only dialoguing with yourself and with others when it comes to behavior, how you feel, and what you think. Irvin Yalom, a Marxist. One of the most fascinating aspects of group therapy is that everyone is born again, born together in the group. Irvin D. Yalom, Theory and Practice in Group Psychotherapy, Kurt Lewin, a Marxist. It is usually easier to change individuals formed into a group than to change any one of them separately. The individual accepts the new system of values and beliefs by accepting belongingness to the group. Kurt Lewin and Kenneth Binney, Human Relations in Curriculum Change. By the Lord Jesus Christ establishing the soul above the flesh, faith above sight, being told above stimulus response, what the Father says above what man says, including what the earthly Father says, he did not destroy the Father's authority as those of and for the world seek to do. He simply established his heavenly Father's authority above all authority, since all other authority is tainted with stimulus response, being of the flesh and the world that stimulates it is subject to sense experience, is subject to what can I get out of this situation and or object, people or person for myself. He therefore causes division between man, those doing his Father's will and those doing their will instead. The difference being his heavenly Father's authority deals with your soul, which is eternal. Man's authority deals with your flesh and the world that stimulates it, which is temporary, passing away. 1 John 2 verse 18, Matthew 10 verse 28, and Matthew 10 verses 32 to 38. It is the Father's authority the Marxist is against, the Marxist is out to negate, is out to remove from the face of the earth, whether it be of God or of man. Marxism, the dialoguing of opinions to a consensus process, is antithetical to the Father's authority, where the Father preaches commands and rules to be obeyed, teaches facts and truth to be accepted as is, by faith and applied, and discusses them with those under his authority at his discretion, rewards those who obey and do things right, that is, who do what they are told, corrects and or chastens those who disobey, that is, who do not do what they were told, and casts out, grounds or expels anyone who questions, challenges, defies, disregards, attacks his authority. This is the same structure found in traditional education. Marxism, simply put, is the rejection of the Father's authority so the Marxist can sin without being judged, condemned, and cast out for his immoral thoughts and immoral actions, removing anyone who gets in the way of his lusts, including the unborn, the elderly, the innocent, the righteous, without having a guilty conscience. The Father's authority is defined in Hebrews 12 verses 5 to 11 and represented in Ephesians 6:1-3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. While the earthly father is not perfect, he may be, or may have been, a downright tyrant, as a child lusting pleasure without restraint, or MIA or AWOL. His office of authority is perfect, having been given to him by the Heavenly Father, who is perfect, in which to do his will, teaching his children to do right and not wrong according to what they have been told. The Father requires those under his authority to do what they are told. The Marxist requires everyone, when it comes to behavior, to think and act according to their carnal nature, according to the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, according to what they have in common, according to that which is only of the world, establishing sense experience over and therefore against being told. Take note. This is an indicator of what is going on in the classroom, the intended outcome. If stimulus response is all there is, then man's ability to reason, to be told by others, and to tell others what is right and what is wrong behavior, that is, his ability to read or write a book, which nothing else in the creation can do, that ability being the result of God breathing the breath of life into that which he formed from the dust of the ground, thus making man a living soul, must be negated. Negating the very tool, man's ability to reason, those who are of and for the world, used to negate those telling them what they can and cannot do. As the serpent in the garden in Eden, when you truly understand what they are doing, they have no legs to stand on. As the laws of nature are established by God, so are the laws he has established for man to obey, with man being told what is right and what is wrong behavior, with man having the ability to do what he is told or do what he wants, with God judging him according to his obedience or disobedience, according to his response to the laws he has established for him to do. Being guilty of sin, of disobedience to God's laws, there is no law of the creation that can save man from God's judgment upon him for his sins, for his disobedience, which is eternal death. Only an act of God, that is, in his Son's obedience to the Father in all things commanded, even to death, can man be saved, by faith in him. This the Marxist, establishing lust, that is sin, that is immorality, as a part of human behavior, rejects, having to reject the Father and his authority in order for him to sin, to lust, to be immoral with impunity, without having a guilty conscience, with the affirmation of men. It cannot be defined any simpler than that. The justification of lust negates the Father's authority. In discussion, I have to do what the Father tells me to do. In dialogue, I can do what I want. Which one is being used in defining and establishing right and wrong behavior determines whether the Father's authority is being justified and lust is being condemned, or lust is being justified and the Father's authority is being condemned. It has to be one or the other. With man, accepting the Father's authority yet yielding to the flesh, thus having a guilty conscience for doing wrong, disobeying, sinning, called a belief-action dichotomy, taking the Father's authority wherever he goes, taking it into society, the socialists, Marxists, globalists' agenda is to remove the Father's authority in the mind of man so he can do wrong, disobey, sin without having a guilty conscience, called theory and practice, where I feel and I think occupies his thoughts instead of what the Father says, justifying his sinful behavior. Institution for Authority Research, Dean Gocher, 1997 to 2024.